This is WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of WSFI Spotlight. I'm your host, Bill Snyder. It is a pleasure to be with you once again. On today's episode, I am blessed to be interviewing Father Matt Bozovsky. He is a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, but before he became a priest, he was living his childhood dream of being a biologist. He taught at Loyola University in Chicago, and now he is the associate pastor of St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Libertyville, Illinois. He was ordained to the priesthood in 2013 and obtained a licentiate in Catholic theology with a specialty focus in theology of the body in relationship to the Second Vatican Council. So it is a pleasure to have you here, Father Matt, sharing your vocation journey, if it will be, conversion and vocation journey with us today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Yes. So I want to ask you, how long have you considered being a priest?
It's a good question. I'm what they call a second vocation guy, where my discernment to the priesthood happened long after my first career happened. I've only been considering becoming a priest really since I was about 27 or 28. For, as you mentioned, kind of for my entire life, my intention was to be a biologist. I remember being 4 or 5 years old and telling my mom that I really wanted to be a scientist, that was my goal. She tells me she was taking some classes at the time, and she was taking anatomy and physiology class, and well, regulations were a little looser back in the early 80s, and she would bring home bones where she would have to identify parts of the bones, and she would give them to me as a 4 or 5 year old to play with and teach me the names of the bones. So I always judge my interest in biology going back to that period of time when I was younger. But that was really the entire focus of my life, was becoming a biologist. There was never any question in my mind at any point in time, until I started discerning becoming a priest, that I was going to be a biologist. I went through kind of a normal Catholic upbringing. My mom made me go to religious education. I was so angry with her at the time, but now in retrospect, I'm very grateful for it. Received my first communion at St. Mary in Des Plaines. We lived in that area our entire lives, and was confirmed at St. Zachary in Des Plaines when I was about 13 years old. I tell people from the point that I was 13 years old until really about my mid-20s, I did not step foot in a church at all. I wasn't even the Christmas and Easter people. There was just no church. It wasn't that I had intentionally kind of rejected the faith. I mean, I would even self-identify. If someone asked me, what faith are you? I'd say, oh, I'm Catholic. But I had no idea what that meant. And I definitely wasn't practicing. The only part of my upbringing that was mildly Catholic was, I remember at my grandmother's house, she had a statue of Mary. And it's actually a statue that now sits on my dresser in my room, because it was kind of this one focal point for me of something else. It was that reminder that, hey, I identify as Catholic, and that's something. Mm-hmm. But what that something was, I never really knew or understood. I went through high school, was looking for colleges to go to, knowing that I wanted to be a biologist and doing research. I had always had in my mind that I wanted to go to Loyola University. I didn't know why, quite honestly. It actually didn't make a lot of sense given my choice in the field. There were other schools, even in the Chicagoland area, that would have been better for science, University of Chicago and Northwestern being the two that come to mind. But there was always this draw and pull to Loyola. And so when I applied there and got the acceptance, I immediately said yes to them. There was no doubt in my mind about that. I went to Loyola, and to give you an idea of how marginally Catholic I was, I didn't know that being at Loyola, being a Jesuit university, meant that it was Catholic. Now, of course, can insert your favorite Jesuit joke here. But so, you know, when I got to Loyola and found out that I had to take philosophy classes and theology classes, I was just absolutely angry about it. And I said to myself, why do I have to take these stupid classes? I want to be a scientist. I should be taking science classes. That should be my focus. Well, God has a sense of humor. I went through and started taking these classes and was absolutely fascinated with them. I realized that I didn't know anything about Catholicism. I'll give you an example. You know, I went through religious ed as a child up to the age of 13. I did not hear about the true presence of our Lord in the Eucharist until I was about 20, and it was in one of these classes at Loyola that I heard that. So in retrospect, I realized that my religious education when I was younger may have been lacking in certain areas.
Sure.
I remember finding out about the Eucharist and saying to myself, wait, these Catholics, they think this is really Jesus? They think this bread and wine is no longer bread and wine? Well, that's kind of crazy. But it was just crazy enough to get me interested in it. I graduated from Loyola then, undergraduate, in 2001. By that point in time, I had become so interested in the theology. I had taken some extra classes and walked out the door with a theology minor, unintended, but obviously something God was intending.
Sure.
I was still not practicing any kind of faith. I was really intellectually curious about the faith. I was researching a lot. I did a lot of research into the stuff and just finding out in general what Catholics believed, but also working with some of the harder issues, I would say, some of the stuff that, you know, especially in our contemporary society, people struggle with, which for us today tends to be the moral theology stuff, right?
Sure.
As a whole. And where I am today, I'll tell you, I was 180 degrees in the opposite direction on all those issues in terms of my views and my belief and my worldview. And so there was a lot of struggling with that. Okay, why do Catholics believe this about artificial birth control and abortion? And I mean, really, you know, pick your favorite hot button topic.
Right.
I was completely against it at that point. So there was a lot of struggle there in my head, just kind of working through that.
Wonderful, or maybe not so wonderful, but as you were struggling with moving from the head to the heart, that interiorization of the faith, right?
Right,
so many of the great saints talk about.
Right, right.
What helped you do that?
Ultimately, God. There were situations in my life that he used to open me up. So while I was an undergrad at Loyola, two things happened to me that really got me asking questions. The first was, it was my sophomore or junior year, a very good friend of mine, very close with her. Her brother was actually murdered. He was young. I think he was maybe 21, 22 at the time. And he was at a school in Southern Illinois and was basically protecting someone from someone else. And he was murdered. So I was with her and the family in that process. They were Catholic, had Catholic services, Catholic mass. It was my first experience really of death, let alone a young and tragic and violent death. And living out that reality had me asking questions and truly kind of trying to be asking the big questions, which I hadn't been asking before. I had been going through my life and just happy and numbing myself with the things of this world without a problem. And this finally got me asking some questions. About a year or two later, my maternal grandmother passed away somewhat unexpectedly, and I was very close to her and my grandfather. I would see them pretty much on a daily basis, really. They live right down the street from us. And so that, again, this huge personal shock to me. Those things were getting me asking the questions while I was going through and doing the head part of it, you know.
Sure.
ultimately, I went through, I got a master's degree at Loyola while doing all of this faith stuff on the side, so to speak. Got the master's degree in biology. Loved the work that I was doing. I then entered Northwestern University, the hospital in downtown Chicago, for a PhD in biology. That summer, as I was leaving Loyola and entering into Northwestern, I just realized at some point, I'm Catholic. It was almost literally waking up one morning and all of those graces that had been building up for years at that point finally hit me. And I said, okay, I'm Catholic. Now I need to do something about that. And at that point, I was well enough catechized, kind of self-catechized almost, where I'm like, all right, well, first I need to go to Mass. I need to start going to Mass every week, and I need to make use of the Sacrament of Reconciliation. I did that. It was probably the first time I made use of the sacrament since the first time I made use of the sacrament.
Okay.
I went to Holy Name Cathedral in downtown Chicago. I remember the experience very clearly and didn't really know what to do. I saw all these Catholics lining up, and I'm like, all right, I can do this. But I got a lot. But I can do that. I was talking myself into it. I must have looked crazy. I'm sure they thought that I was one of those people walking in off the street just talking to myself and they were nervous.
Sure.
And I went in and it was one of the most powerful experiences of my entire life. I found out later the priest that was there actually ended up being one of my faculty at the seminary, who I know and who is a fantastic member of the faculty. And I told him that I remembered that he was the one that I went to for my first confession. And then after that point, I jumped in. I was going to daily Mass and I was a full-fledged practicing Catholic.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, we do have to take a break, Father. I want to hear more about the story and about your journey to priesthood after the break. Mm-hmm. We've got you back in the church, but now we've got to figure out how that collar
exactly
is on you. So we will hear that story right after the break here. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to WSFI Spotlight. I am your host, Bill Snyder. Thanks so much. We'll be right back.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
My name is Father John Grigas. I'm the rector of the Shrine of St. Maxim Kolbe at Marytown. I'm a priest, and as priests, we are responsible for forming you in the presence of Christ through the sacraments, through the preaching, through everything else. But you are the Christ who goes out into the world and brings the good news. And WSFI is one of the main means. And so God bless all that WSFI does. And please support WSFI in whatever means that you can so that this wonderful station may continue to broadcast the good news and evangelize our culture.
WSFI is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community, but we only can do that with your financial help. Please take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us. And after this, our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Amen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back here on WSFI Spotlight. Today, my guest is Father Matt Pazowski. I am Bill Snyder, their host, and we are having a wonderful conversation about Father Matt's conversion story. He just went through an amazing conversion story. And if you missed the first half of this interview, I encourage you to get it on our podcast site, which is wsfi.podbean.com, or just go to our website, wsfiradio.org, and search for it. But to briefly recap, he was poorly catechized, sort of a nominal Catholic in his early upbringing. From confirmation to his early 20s, he did not set foot in a Catholic church. Began to do some research as a college student at Loyola while studying for his biology degrees and all of that, and then ended up coming back to the church right around his mid-20s. And now he's going to talk to us a little bit about the moment he said yes to the vocational call, to the priesthood. It's a different journey, another journey.
It is. Yeah, I thought by the time that, okay, I'm a practicing Catholic now, God's done with me, right? Yeah, don't ever say that, because usually that's not the case then. At that point in time, I was in a PhD program at Northwestern, and I was also adjunct faculty member at Loyola. I had been for several years and had absolutely loved teaching. While at the same time, I was learning more about the faith, and I started praying. You know, I always tell people, watch out when you start praying, because that's when God's really going to start doing things in your life. And I mean, my schedule would be, you know, I would get to the lab at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. I'd stay till 7 or 8 at night. I'd get home. I'd pray for 2 hours. I'd go to bed and do the same thing the next day. So my prayer life had taken off. One of the key things in that early time was the Divine Mercy devotion, the Diary of St. Faustina. I'd actually gone down to the bookstore in the basement of Holy Name Cathedral and was looking for a good spiritual book, is what I said, and was looking for something that looked really cool, because that's how you judge a good book, is how it looks, right? And I had stumbled across that, and oh, sure, I'll go ahead and pick this up, and really locked into it. And that devotion, I know, helped solidify me in the faith, and really locked into the chaplet and the novena and just reading the diary. And that helped those seeds that were already blooming really kind of get into full swing, so to speak. Still was not considering priesthood, not at all on the radar. I wanted to be a biologist. That was what I wanted to do. But what I had noticed is I would be sitting at the lab bench and thinking about what I had read of the diary the night before, or St. Ignatius of Loyola is a favorite saint of mine, and thinking about something from one of his writings. And my focus, my energies, my thoughts were all on things of faith and spirituality, and that my work wasn't fulfilling me anymore. It was ultimately this faith reality that was what was giving me life and getting me through the day. At that point, I started, you know, being very concerned, because I had wanted to be a biologist. I mean, we're talking now, I was probably 27 or 28, okay? So I had wanted to be a biologist since I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And now, all of a sudden, something was wrong. I was actually living out the reality of what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I was a scientist. I was doing experiments. I was getting my PhD, and I felt empty. The only thing that I felt full from was that growing relationship with God. It was November or December of 2006 was the first time that the question popped into my mind. And I said, what about priesthood? Immediately dismiss it. I'm like, nope. I might be crazy, but I am not crazy enough to become a priest. That is just not in the cards. God has far better options for priesthood other than this guy. God kept poking, kept up the graces, and I had finally mentioned it out loud to a very good friend of mine. I'd known her for years and years. She was the first person that I threw the idea across. And I did it kind of in a joking way. I'm like, oh, what would you think about this? I'm kind of thinking about this. I remember clearly what she said to me. She's like, oh, yeah, I could have told you that a while ago. And I looked at her and my mouth dropped open. Why didn't you tell me this before? And she said, well, you needed to come to figure it out on your own. that was what I needed to hear in order to give me the courage to pursue this and the follow-up. And I started talking to more people and asking more people, and they said, yeah, we could really see that. I had joined the Archdiocese of Chicago has a discernment group for second vocation men called In Search, which is a fantastic program. I joined that. It met regularly at Holy Name Cathedral and really kind of helped me figure out what this life looks like. Because you hear priesthood, and when you don't have any experience of it, or really I didn't have any relationships with priests at that point, I didn't know, what am I getting myself into here? Yeah. The hardest part was bringing it up to my family. My mom, I love her to death, and she is now one of my biggest supporters. That was a process for her getting there as well. The first couple times I brought it up to her, I said, you know, I'm really thinking about becoming a priest. And she said, oh, don't be crazy. You're just having a hard time in your PhD program. Just push through it. You'll get through and you'll be fine. Because it was completely contrary to what I had told everybody I was going to do for my entire life. And so it was this shift, not only in the way I viewed myself, but in how everybody else viewed me as well. Now, she ended up actually doing me a great service because she asked me the hard question. She played, for lack of a better way of putting it, devil's advocate in the process. And she made sure I was asking the questions that I needed to ask. And sometimes I knew the answers, sometimes I didn't and had to find them out. But over the process, she eventually came to see, okay, this is something that you've thought out, you've prayed over, and that, you know, clearly you feel like God's calling you to, and I'll support you in whatever that is. But it was still kind of ambiguous. I still hadn't committed yet at that point.
Fantastic. So what was that moment that said yes for you? What was that moment of like, okay, I committed to this now?
Yeah. It was both one of the most frightening and one of the most exciting moments of my life. And I remember it clearly. I have it written down in my journal. My spiritual director at that point, who was a Jesuit at Loyola University, suggested that I make a 3 or 4 day retreat at Loyola in order to discern the priesthood. I had never made a retreat before. And so I found a retreat director. He helped me find a retreat director there. And I brought a book to read, which was called The Unchanging Heart of the Priesthood is the name of the book. And not to give away the ending, but the unchanging heart of the priesthood is the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that was kind of what I was reading at the time, and had the director and went through the first day or two, gave me some prayer situations. It was fine. And then he asked me to pray while walking along the beach, Loyola Beach. And I'm one of those weird people that don't like the beach. I don't know what it is. I'm not a beach person. And so he asked me to do this, and I'm like, only out of obedience to my spiritual director am I going to do this. So I went out to Loyola Beach, and I took my shoes off because I always see people walking on the beach taking their shoes off. And I'm like, all right, when in Rome, you know, and started walking along the beach and praying. The first thing that happened was I had this experience that in my prayer, I was walking with Jesus along the Sea of Galilee, that I had this very clear sense of being with our Lord in this process. The waves from Lake Michigan then started kind of rolling over my feet in the process, and I had the sense of him saying to me, this is what I want you to do. I want you to wash my people's feet. This is what I'm calling you to do. I was so kind of lost in that experience. I just kept walking and kept walking. I ended up in Evanston, and the beach kind of ended. And I just sat down in the sand and said, all right, Lord, you are going to have to make this abundantly clear to me if this is what you want. I put my hands in the sand, and I came across this big rock. And it's a rock that I have to this day because I attribute my vocation to it. Pulled the rock out of the sand, and it was in the shape of a heart. And at that moment, my mind went back to the unchanging heart of the priesthood, the heart of Christ. And that was the confirmation that I needed. And at that moment, I said, okay, God, I'll go to the seminary. I don't know if you're calling me to priesthood, but I will at least go to the seminary and discern in a very serious way there. And that was when I said that, yes.
Wow, and so you have been ordained since May of 2013.
I have, yes.
And you've also obtained your, as I mentioned in the very beginning, your licentiate in theology, but
right.
with a special focus in the theology of the body.
Right.
And John Paul II's theology of the body and how that relates to the Second Vatican Council, which is awesome. But can you tell me a little bit about what you're doing now and where is the Lord leading you with inside of your priestly vocation?
Yeah. It's a question I ask myself every day. Sure. It's, you know, I never assume that where God led me yesterday is where he's going to be leading me today, because I've learned that when I do that, he's going to bring a big surprise along my way. You know, one of the things that has really been, I'm going to say, somewhat of a surprising source of grace in my ministry has been the Sacrament of Reconciliation. It has been an amazing way of seeing God work in people's lives in a concrete way. Ultimately, as a priest and as a person of faith, Mass is that truly that source and summit of the reality of who I am. But the Sacrament of Reconciliation helps me to perceive God's grace working in a way that's sometimes hard for me to see when I'm celebrating Mass. So that's an amazing thing for me. Spiritual direction has been something that I've really found I enjoy doing, and people have responded very positively to. Also teaching and preaching. I that one I'm not as surprised about. I knew teaching has been a passion of mine for a very long time. I've actually been invited to teach a course at Mundelein Seminary, not at the seminary itself, but in their lay ministry master's program there this upcoming fall, and then also a class in the permanent diaconate program for the Archdiocese of Chicago, which I'm very excited about. But I've also had made opportunities at the parish to teach. We've taught classes on some of the documents from the Second Vatican Council. I did a series on prayer and different methods of prayer. You know, I love talking about the faith.
Sure.
I love sharing. God has blessed me tremendously, and I have not deserved it. I have fought him along the process like nobody's business, and yet he has continued to be remarkably generous with me, and there's nothing I can do but share that with others. And one of the ways that I think is locks into one of the gifts God's given me is through that ministry of teaching and sharing with people, ultimately the beauty of our faith, because that's how I came back to the faith in a large way, is by experiencing that power and the beauty of the truth of our faith.
So we're on radio, Father,
yeah.
And there's a lot of people out there that are listening to this right now, and they're driving in their car, some of them eating a hamburger while driving in their
right,
car, their
right.
kids over to practice or something like that. And they don't even know why they've stumbled on this channel, much like they don't like you stumbling on your vocation.
Yeah.
And we don't know where they are in their spiritual journey. But for somebody who's struggling with faith or somebody that is going through a similar process that you went through, what mm-hmm. are some of the advice that you would give somebody that may be struggling in faith right now?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And honestly, it's one that everybody has, because if we're honest, we're all struggling in our faith. You know, I don't have it together just because I'm a priest and have kind of reconverted back to the faith. I'm struggling through it every day myself. The first thing is recognize that the struggle's good. The fact that you are struggling is a sign that the Holy Spirit is already working within your heart and within your life. Because, you know, we struggle in this world between kind of that tug of this world, that tug of, you know, the brokenness and the fallenness of the world and that greatness of what God's calling us to and giving us the ability to live out. So that is going to be a struggle, because that's the reality of where we are. I get nervous when people aren't struggling. If someone comes up to me and says, oh yeah, Father, I got this whole faith thing down. I completely got God figured out. My prayer life is great and everything's going well. We have a long conversation then. So first is be comfortable with the struggle. The second is trust that God is working there. God's not asking us to get it perfect. He's asking us to respond in the best way that we can to the grace that he's giving us at this very moment. We have a tendency, let me point the finger first at myself. I have the tendency of living either in the future or in the past. I live in the past of either regrets or shoulda, woulda, couldas, or I live in the future worrying about this, that, or the other. Ultimately, I have to keep reminding myself, God isn't giving me graces to live in the past or in the future. God is giving me the graces to live in the present moment, because that's where he is right now with us in the present. Does that mean we shouldn't plan for the future as much as we can? No, of course. But there's the reality of living in the here and now, because God's grace is working. And I've seen, even in just 2 years of priesthood, situations where you don't think God's grace is working at the time, but you look back at it and you're like, wow, it is. So trust that God's grace is there and working.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much, Father, for sharing your story, your priesthood with us here over the airwaves. As I did just mention, you know, people are all over the place listening to you talk right now, and they may need a little bit of a blessing.
Yes.
Would you pray with us and share your priestly blessing on all of us and all of our listeners?
I'd be happy to. We can all use a little blessing. So let's pray in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good and gracious God, we give you praise and thanks for the abundant gifts that you have given us, those gifts that we recognize, but especially those gifts that we may have missed. We know that you desire to make of us new creations, and we ask you to open our hearts to that great grace that you give us. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much again, Father. This has been such a blast.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
And this has been an episode of WSFI Spotlight. Until next time, from all of us here at WSFI Catholic Radio, I'm your host, Bill Snyder. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
This has been WSFI Spotlight. For more information on this or any other program, email info@wsfiradio.org.